Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young cat.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it! Touchdown Rams! With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger and Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 8:02. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Coming up at 8:20 is when we're scheduled to start. We've got Michael Rapaport, comedian, actor. He's in town for Helium Comedy Club. Yeah.
Being awesome, man.
Finishing off the hour with
big
us.
Big fan.
In studio.
I'm going to be a fanboy for a little while.
Are you?
Oh, big time.
Do you remember
Rap's
that?
A good guy.
Do you remember
Yeah,
that?
I could do that. Can I do that in the mirror? Do you remember?
Do you remember?
Yeah, probably not going to go over well.
Do you remember that one time?
Remember?
Yeah. So he'll be joining us in studio, Roher. In about 18 minutes from now. But we've got bigger fish to fry because we have got to get to the Pro Football Challenge brought to you by our friends at Encore Audio Video.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
We're going to put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
Well, anyway, this is the Fans Pro Football Challenge, a competition between the Fan Air staff, the Junior Fan Genius, and you. Brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Pro Football Challenge with Dusty and Cam. And Bucks here too on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
I'm ready.
All right.
Ready. You
just
ready?
Making sure. Well, ready. You're the man who you
ready
get
go,
intense
baby.
Over this.
Ready.
Let's get to it. Five games. Let's start with your upset special for week 11 in the National Football League. Do you have an upset special this week?
I do. And it involves the same team as last week.
What?
I know. I'm sorry, Rams fans. I'm a little concerned. I'm emotionally concerned. Not just emotionally concerned. I think that there is something that happens in football. Sometimes we call it the fat and happy philosophy. I call that this is what the LA Rams are sitting in, the fat and happy.
Okay.
When you get paid and you give up the most important positions in all of football in the offensive line, you're going to give away the offensive lineman. You're not going to back up. You're not going to make sure that you protect your 140-some million-dollar quarterback. You're not going to give it to Todd Gurley anymore. And you're going to let the Chicago Bears come in and beat you? In L.A.? Holy moly. Give me the Bears.
Oh, you got the Bears.
The Bears coming in to the Los Angeles Rams. I find myself very concerned about the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay, defense is good.
Schwan.
But your offense, man,
that
where
is
the scoring?
9.
So true. I think the Rams are going to finish right around 9-7, somewhere around there. It's going to be tough. Give
wow.
me the Bears over the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
That's a reacher.
That's a bit of an upset there. It would be an upset special. So I'm going to go with the Rams in that one, though. I'm going to go with the Rams because they need it. But if you think of this, Chicago, they win that game, they're 500.
Yeah.
They are a 500 team if they win that game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams in this one. I
thought they needed their game last week, which they didn't get, and they need this one even more if they have any chance at making the playoffs. I just don't trust any quarterback for the Bears, yeah. So I can't pick on them at this point in time.
Okay. All right, where we start this bad boy, let's go with tonight's game. The Browns at home, where their fans will be quiet for Baker Mayfield.
Maybe.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's the Steelers!
I'll start this one off. I'm going to go with Cleveland getting off the schneid here. The Steelers have flirted with disaster. There's no reason for me to pick the Cleveland Browns, except for this. Doesn't this just seem like a game that Cleveland would win in their division where you go, what?
No,
I don't see it. Why did they win this game? And it just seems like one that they would.
Short week. I haven't seen Baker Mayfield on a short week yet. I haven't seen what Cleveland's be able to do. Now they're coming off a win. It is always pick the home team, right? We always try to take the home team. Mm-hmm. But Pittsburgh coming off a huge win. Huge.
Yep.
Huge at home.
Huge.
Beating the Rams. I think they're going to be, I'm telling you, Pittsburgh's going to be coming up with a lot of great schemes on defense. They don't need much on offense. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, the Browns coming off a win. They have already beat the Ravens, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I picked against the Steelers when they played the Colts. I picked against them when they played the Rams. Not doing it again. I'm going to take the Steelers this week.
It's the Steelers.
Let's go with some of these good games. Texans visit the Ravens this weekend. I like this game. These are two of the better teams in the National Football League.
I had this as my number two pick on the upset because there is a lot of people taking Baltimore on this one. You're two of the most fun quarterbacks you're ever going to see play against each other. I like Houston in this game. I think Baltimore faced a Cincinnati team that's very bad, very much bad. And I also like Bill O'Brien going up against the opportunity to stop Baltimore. Now, but it's at home. You're going on the road. Houston's been known to do this. They did it last year when they beat Houston or beat Baltimore on the road. So I'm saying they're going to do it again.
Okay.
I'm also going to take Houston in this one. Are they coming off a bye?
They are coming off a bye.
They're coming off a bye. Ravens coming off that huge win or over
Cincinnati. Huge win.
But two in a row now. They proved it against the Patriots, and then they got to coast last week. I think that this is maybe a hiccup week
for them.
They're
6-3. They're not a bad football team.
No, they are not. This is an interesting one because of the fact that you're coming off a bye. You're having to hit the road and play the Baltimore Ravens. You get that chance to get a little bit healthy. I do like the Houston Texans in this one as well. Baltimore's got to have a hiccup at some point, and this may just be the week to do it. Can they contain Lamar Jackson, though? And bad news, it doesn't look like Will Fuller is going to be able to go for Houston. So I'm going to go with the Houston Texans in this.
So we're sweeping it on the underdog.
Yeah. All right, next game, we've got Jets-Redskins. Somebody has to win. Like, this is actually a tough game to pick because somebody has to win this game.
I think this is an easy pick. The Jets are going to win this game. I despise the fact. And now I know, I think the Jets are going to win this game. I just think so. The flip-flop of who's going to start at quarterback for Washington and the dysfunction. It's actually fun to watch. It's been fun watching Washington just crap down their legs.
I'm going
not from the player side, but boy, from the fan side.
In this game, it's going to be ugly, but I'm going with the Jets as well.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets. I think that they have more incentive to win. I think Adam Gase wants to win so that he's not another one and done with another team. Whereas the Redskins, they've already canned Jay Gruden. We know that they don't care about winning anymore at this point. I think they have less incentive to win than Gase and the Jets do. So give me the Jets.
All right, last game. Let's pick it. It is Chiefs at Chargers.
Really? Really? Kansas City, another 6-4 team that is... You can't tell me that Kansas City is a scary team right now from the fact that they can't play defense. They can't. They got a new defensive coordinator. They invested in guys that play defense, yet they can't play defense. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a massive game changer. He is. I don't like the fact that they're going on the road. I don't like this. I don't like anything about this.
But it's the Chargers.
I understand it's the Chargers, but they played a tough physical football game. They lost to Oakland. I know. I still think the Kansas City's a better roster, so I'll go with Kansas City, but I think this is a close game.
I do believe this is going to be a close game, and I'm going as this one as an upset. I'm going with the Chargers in it because of the fact that if there's one thing that the LA Chargers do well, it is they have a very good defensive line, and they can get to the quarterback. And
Phillip Rivers couldn't even throw the football anywhere. They have a good running back. This is a tough decision.
I'm going with this just because the defense is so bad.
Lean on Kansas City on this one reluctantly.
It's, again, like Cam, it's Kansas City, but only reluctantly. I don't like what I've seen from them recently, but I don't know. I feel like they got to get right at some point. I think they have more talent on that roster.
Actor, comedian Michael Rapaport joins us in studio next. He's in town for the Helium Comedy Club. This has been the Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Encore Audio Video. Play along for free at 1080thefan.com. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Joining us in studio now is actor, comedian, director too, Michael Rapaport. You actually directed a Tribe Called Quest documentary.
Yes, I did.
Now, that has got to be a passion project from you. It's called Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Yup.
How long did it take you to make a documentary about a rap group that spans decades?
It took 3 years to make Beats, Rhymes, and Life. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm so glad we got to make the movie about a Tribe Called Quest, especially with the passing of Fife Dawg, who was probably the biggest sports fan that I've ever known. But it was a passion project. We got it done, and I'm very proud of it. And, you know, I'm such a fan of the group and got to know the guys. And the movie lives on, just like the music and relevance of A Tribe Called Quest will live on forever.
By the way, welcome in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We had A Tribe Called Quest on, so I had to get the question in there right off
we
the
were
bat.
How long have we been talking about this? We're like, Michael's coming in. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's badass. So you were there last night. You were hanging out at the Moda Center. You're watching the Blazers play. Versus Toronto. Your first thoughts of the city of Portland? That initial, like, all right, Portland, I'm coming to Portland. This is what I got.
Well, my first, when I think of cities, for the most part, sports are usually my connection. Mm-hmm. So when I think, I'll be totally honest, when I think of the Portland Trailblazers, when I think of the city of Portland, mm-hmm. I think of the late, great Maurice Lucas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think of Maurice Lucas. I think of Bill Walton with the beard and the hair. I think of Dr. J, those 76er Blazers series. Then I think of later on Jerome Kersey and those guys. And then, of course, Rod Strickland and Rasheed Wallace and bringing me all the way up here. But when I think of Portland, my association is the old the Rose Garden, mm-hmm. and that great series, because that's what I saw first. That was my introduction to the world of Portland, and you know, being up here. You know, I'm in New York and Los Angeles most of the time. You know, the fresh air is much, much appreciated, because we don't have fresh air in New York, and we certainly don't have it in Los Angeles.
You know, Damian Lillard's our guy up here. Building a franchise around this guy has been the best move they've done for a while.
Yeah.
He's an Oakland guy, but doesn't he feel like he would be a perfect Nick? He's got that edge to him, and it's kind of that guy that they've been looking for.
Well, I mean,
your beloved Knicks.
He's a perfect trailblazer. At this point with the Knicks, we don't have that guy, you know, that godsend guy. You know, we thought it might have been Porzingis. He obviously is very talented. The injuries were frustrating as a Knicks fan. And by the way, he is coming back to the Garden for the first time since he decided to leave.
Boos,
New York,
beyond belief.
Hopefully they boo him relentlessly. You know, the things are looking up for the Dallas Mavericks with Luka and Porzingis. That's a good, you know, it's all about the mm-hmm. duos right now. And that's definitely a good duo. There's two big guys, perimeter players, that could also go to the hoop. But yeah, I mean, you guys have CJ and Dame, and we haven't had those guys, those signature guys that, you know, stay with you through the highs, stay with you through the lows, and sort of give your team an identity. And Damian gives, the Trailblazers an identity, just like CJ. I mean, I think it's disgusting that CJ McCollum, he's not an all-star. He's never been an all-star. Last year, he was ridiculous. The year before, and the fact that he hasn't been an all-star is crazy. And I hope they could get it together so he could get that, you know, that all-star vote that I think that he's been, you know, he deserves.
Yeah, I know you're a big basketball fan. As a Knicks fan, we always talk about as guys that, like, owners, like James Dolan as an owner. Can you imagine consistently having a business that always goes up and up and up, billions and billions, and you constantly put out a bad product? You look at that as a Knicks fan and just go, this is never going to get better with him
there. I do look at it as a Knicks fan. And I was reluctant to sort of blame Dolan. And at the end of the day, we need to get the players and all that stuff. But there's a stain. There's something about the Dolan and also Steve Mills, the president of basketball operations. He's not innocent either. You know, through all the tenures of the Mike D'Antonis and the Kurt Rambis and the Phil Jackson and, oh my God, that's going to change everything. And then the Derek Fishers and Herb Williams was our coach. And the list of people, the only consistent is Dolan and Steve Mills. Steve Mills needs to go. We don't need to talk about firing. If they're talking about firing David Fizdale.
What a joke, by the way.
That is a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. They're doing that to him.
It's a joke. And they handle everything so poorly and fear-based, and they have no connection to this. Let's say the Knicks, let's just say for all intents and purposes, and we have to really use our imaginations. Let's say the Knicks pulled it together somehow, some way this year, right, and won an NBA championship. He will get booed. James Dolan, you know, when they give that trophy, yeah, if we won a 7-game series versus the Los Angeles Lakers and beat LeBron James, let's just say, when they give that owner of the New York Knicks a trophy, he will be booed by the New York Knicks fans, even in success, because there's no connection, there's no respect for the city, you have owners that have respect and sort of connection with the players. He just sits there. He looks miserable whether we're winning or losing. Most of the time, you know, we're losing. And Steve Mills, like, why did they come out and do a press conference here? They sit down. Fizdale's a big boy. Yeah. He doesn't need you coming out there lurking around, like, you know, speaking in like this monitor. We don't need that. So it's very frustrating for a long time as a Knicks fan. That being said, we need to pull it together and boo Porzingis relentlessly tonight.
Did you ever believe that Durant and Kyrie were ever going to be?
Yeah.
Did you believe it?
Why wouldn't I? Yeah. That's what the word on the street was.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when there's smoke, there's fire. I know that Kevin Durant was considering coming to the Knicks. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the injury changed his whole thing. And I don't wish any. I love Kevin Durant. But yeah, I believed it. I mean, we got a little ahead of ourselves because these social media memes had Kyrie, yeah, Zion, and KD, and we were like, right, "Oh, that's happening! Like we're getting Zion, and they're coming." So, but I did think that you know, Kevin Durant was coming, and I know that he was considering coming, and he made his choice. It's just been frustrating, man.
I can feel it. I can feel the passion. I love it.
You had a calm look on your face when you're talking about Dame and the Blazers and CJ. He mentions the Knicks and the eyebrow furrowed. Yeah. The New Yorker came out in you, and I don't blame you. It's been, and on top of this, beefing with Charles Oakley, one of those guys who still, for whatever reason, wanted to be around the team, right, and Dolan has beef with him.
I mean, there's one thing after another, after another, after another.
Do you hire Mark Jackson and just say, let's do it? Do you make that call?
Do you do it now? You can't. I mean, hiring a coach in the, like,
yeah,
you know,
no, it's a bad decision. Yeah,
it's just messed up. I mean, it's early in the year. You know, teams that are on top right now are not going to be on top, and I'm not saying the Knicks are going to, you know, but they could turn things around for the better to salvage this season. It's those stupid decisions like coming out during a press conference. Yes, it sucks. We lost to Cleveland on a Sunday. Fizdale can take it.
Yeah.
You know, he can take it. He can deal with it. We don't need you, Steve Mills, coming out for a press conference for no specific reason. Yeah. Why are you there? You know, why are you even at the game? Go home. So, but I'm excited to be here, Portland. Yes. I'm excited to be performing. I'm performing at the Helium Comedy Club. It's my first time. I was in Portland once for like 36 hours. So I'm excited to be performing here in Portland all weekend. I'm excited to get some fresh air and have some good food, some good Portland food.
Michael Rappaport is our guest. He has 5 shows at Helium starting tonight, 8:00.
Yep.
And then you got double headers on Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m. You can go to your website, michaelrappaportcomedy.com, and you can get tickets there, or you can go to Helium's website, Helium Portland, and get tickets there. Comedy is something I want to talk to you about, though,
Ooh, yeah.
yep.
because everybody thinks of you as an actor.
Yeah.
And everybody knows you as an actor that can go from serious roles or to comedies, and you kind of have done everything. But comedy's been a big part of your life. Like, reading up on you, I found that comedy's always been a big part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, some of the reading up on is, you know, these Wikipedia pages. But yeah, I mean, I started out as a comedian when I was 19. I went to Los Angeles. I got out of New York. And that was my first foray into show business. And I wanted to be Eddie Murphy. This is 1989. Like, I literally...
Leather suits and all?
All of it. Like, literally, I wanted to be Eddie Murphy. I wanted to be a comedian that did comedy and then, you know, made movies. And but based on my comedy, I was 19. I wasn't that good of a comedian. Then I started from comedy and performing. I started getting called into auditions. And I fell immediately in love with acting. Like, I had grown up wanting to be a basketball player, but the first time I ever, like, read a scene, like, it came more natural to me than anything, basketball, any sport, and even comedy. So then I left a comedy alone, you know, when I started acting, and in the last year or so, I started performing again, stand-up, and I just love it. It's just so much fun. I feel like I have more to say, better understanding of the... You know, the pacing of a show, and I have more confidence, and you know, and I love doing stand up, and I love being on tour doing you know, different cities, and I'm, you know, like I said, I'm hyped to be in Portland, but it's just a fun, unpredictable. I love the unpredictability of stand up comedy, because you never actually know what you're gonna get or how it's gonna go. Things could be going good, things could be going off the rails, and I like even the good, bad, and in between of it.
When you're putting together your content, like, it can, compared to when you started, how? I mean, think about how things are different. Do you write differently now? I mean, some of the jokes that I mentioned it, like raw or delirious. Could you pull that off in today's world? And how you write and how you practice for your sets and
doing
that.
It depends on if you could pull it off. You know, if you have to sort of in a way, you have to kind of earn it, because you look at Chappelle, you look at, like, great comedians like Bill Burr, you know, but Chappelle's most recent, you know, no one's going to cancel Dave Chappelle.
Right.
No. You know, right. So you have to be very smart. You have to be witty. And I think...
More politically correct, in a sense?
I think it's not so much politically correct. I think you just better land some... jokes.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, it's such a weird time. People will come after you and all that stuff. You have to be able to stand in the pocket and know if you're going to talk smack, you're going to get it thrown back at you. And, you know, you have to be comfortable and confident with where you're at and why you're telling certain jokes and what your point of view is, and try to articulate it. And you can't pull your punches. It's like, you know, in boxing, sometimes you'll hear these trainers say, you gotta let your hands go. For me, with comedy, you know, like in the sports room, it's like, you got to let your hands go. Yeah. You can't be scared. So I try not to pull my punches when I'm up there. I talk a lot of crap, and I have a good time. And so far, so good. I'm having a good time doing it. And I know the culture of Portland, so I'm expecting, you know, the crowd to be into what I'm doing this weekend.
Michael Rapaport is our guest. Five shows at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 8 o'clock, Friday, 7:30 and 10, Saturday, 7:30 and 10. You're going to stick around for another segment with us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because we've got, I've got notes that we haven't even gotten close to, including kind of the, you mentioned the cancel. You're not going to get canceled, and cancel culture, pretty big here in Portland.
A
little bit.
And so I want more on your style of comedy, and then some of the stuff that you've been doing recently.
Okay.
Like, we've got a lot of people that text into the show, and we've gotten a lot of feedback on your show, Atypical.
Well,
I want to talk to you about
Let's
that
do it.
As well, your Netflix series, Atypical.
Let's do it all.
Michael Rapaport in studio with us. And we also need to figure out, are you a Jets or Giants fan?
I'm a Giants fan.
Okay.
But I'm not a church and state guy. Like, I want to see both teams do well, but I am a Giants fan at heart.
Does that make you Yankees too?
It makes me a Yankees fan. I'm not a big baseball guy. I'm basketball, football, fantasy football.
Who's your college?
Not even college. No, but I'm hard body NFL, hard body
Rutgers,
fantasy football, and NBA is my. I mean, this is a beautiful time of the year for somebody like myself.
Yeah. Perfect. All right, we got more with Mike Rapaport coming up next. Right now, though, is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is 8:34. Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland with you. Joining us in studio is Michael Rapaport, comedian, actor. He is in town because he's got five shows at Helium Comedy Club starting tonight, 8 to 9 p.m., 7:30 tomorrow and 10 o'clock tomorrow, and then 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Saturday as well at Helium Comedy Club. Go to Helium's website or go to MichaelRapaportComedy.com, and you can get tickets right there on the website. You have got a lot of... You have an edge to you, and you know this. Like, this is... Edges is what you have. And you said that when you put together your set, you don't really worry about kind of what it is or where you go. But you came to Portland last night and you were in town. Do you do that to kind of get a vibe of the city and kind of feel out what the city's going
to
be like?
I mean, I came early to go to the game. You know, I really wanted to go to a Blazers game. You know, and like I said earlier, like, I love, you know, the NBA. So that's why I came early. And, you know, it is nice to get a little jump on it because just, you know, it's such a beautiful city. Yeah. And, you know, and it's in such a, you know, to get a little feel of it. Like, I know there's a great food culture out here. Yeah. So I want to, like, try to get some food. I don't want to get myself, you know, stuffed to the brims because I want to stay light on my feet from my shows. But, yeah, to get a little sense of what's going on out here.
Now, I think that your style and your edge, though, I think that, are you finding more people want to go and just be like, I know what he's bringing to the table, and I want that. So it's less of, like, it got this feeling that people used to go to comedy shows just to be like, make me laugh, clown. Now it is, I want to kind of find a guy that I identify with or gal that I identify with, and that's the kind of comedian I'm going to.
I think so. You know, obviously, you know, I'm fortunate, you know, as a comedian to be known as an actor.
Right.
You know, and people are familiar with me. So you know, obviously that's a blessing. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, like, a lot of people identify with some of my points of view on thing, or like they live vicariously through my trash talking and all that stuff. And the thing about, like, for me with comedy, like, I said, you know, I talk a lot of trash about a lot of things, but I start with myself, you know what I mean? Because I really believe that if you're going to give it, you have to be able to take it. So I try to make that clear. Sometimes people don't, that gets missed, because I like to make fun of myself, because I think that kind of humor is also funny. But I try to establish the rules. Like, everybody's up for grabs is for you know, they could all get it, including myself. So, you know, like, I love doing it. I love you know, it's a lot of fun, and you know, the whole the edge and all that stuff. I mean, that's real, but also that's also like, sometimes people like think like I'm like that 24/7. That's not the case, you know.
No. I want to, because I know you're a sports fan, and I love that, the fact that a comedian sports fan connects with everybody. When you're thinking about athletes today, think about the difference between 20 years and now with social media, and we're talking about the sensitivity or the connection to an athlete, the influence you can have from one tweet to not just yourself, but anybody, and how connected every athlete is, good or bad, for these guys when they start interacting with us.
They shouldn't interact.
Okay.
They should.
Why?
I like
Why?
It.
You like, oh, of course.
They shouldn't interact with us because they should be above the fans. You know, if you interact in a good way, it's one thing. But it's like, there was something cool about not knowing anything about any of the players. Michael Jordan being the biggest, Isaiah, Larry Bird, you know, Clyde Drexler. Like, we didn't know all these things about him. It's cool, like, every now and then seeing, like, oh, yo, I saw LeBron working out, or I saw, you know, but also there's good to, like, you know, have a little mystery. You know, I think some of them, they go too far and they share everything. Like, you're not an Instagram model, you're not a rapper, like, you're an NBA player. It's the elite of the elite. You're an NFL player. I mean, it's easier. Not that, you know, it's easy to become a successful musician, but, like, a little bit of mystery is cool. You know, we talked about Eddie Murphy. It's like, you saw him when you saw him. So I think some of them go too far, and everybody's like, with their brand, like, yo, let me tell you something. Your brand ain't that important. There's a few guys in the NBA right now, there's a few NFL players that'll be around in 20 years that'll still have broadcasting jobs, that'll still have relevance. It ends. You showing, you know, your hand on a, you know, an Instagram model's butt, or, you know, what watch you're wearing or using, they ain't going to help your brand.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the ebbs and flows of fame and sports. It's like, you know, Antonio Brown, love him, hate him, everything in between. Yo, when you're out of the NFL, bye-bye.
Right.
Tom Brady, right? At a certain point, Tom Brady's no longer going to play football. and we'll start forgetting about Tom Brady. You know, just like, you know, like now, if you didn't grow up seeing Michael Jordan, it's like this folklore.
Right.
You know,
right, right.
You know, so it's like it happens. Whether Kobe, you see how quick it's like we just forget about you. They booed Drake at a concert the other night. You know, it's just like the ebbs and flows. So like these guys are like, oh, my brand. Yo, your brand ain't. Mm-mm. I think people like, you know, and everybody's got a show, every podcast. It's like, you know. Just focus on the main thing, which is the bread and butter, which is being a pro athlete.
Is the league too soft? I mean, thinking about NFL's change, even when after I retired in 2006, the change of how the game is impacts head traumas, all those things.
But even
basketball, I love watching old school 80s and 90s.
I agree.
But we're at the point where you watch Joel Embiid, bump into one, but he's kicked out for 5 games. Is the NBA too soft? And are players too soft?
I think the NFL, it's important to protect the players. I don't mind that. You know, you're going to get the contact inevitably. You want to see these guys be in the best position to be healthy. So I don't have a problem with that. With the NBA, listen, we like the scoring. We like the three-point shot. There has to be a middle ground. I think it's gone too far where defense is disrespected.
But
the rules have disrespected playing defense. You know, you see guys like Trae Young, Dame, CJ, Kyrie, shake guys to the floor. The reason why guys are going to the floor, it's not because they're so much better than Isaiah, Steve Nash, Tim Hardaway, Allen Iverson. There's nothing to hold on to. You touch a guy. So when you're getting, you know, shuffled up by, you know, crosses, you can't touch it. That's why you see these guys fall down. I don't think it's good to laugh at defenders falling down. You know, good defense.
Soccer flopping.
Yeah, it's brutal. I think, you know, there has to be, and I think all these guys are great. All these players would do great. Of course, LeBron and James Harden, Russell Westbrook would do good in any era. But I would like to just see, I don't know what the fix is, but there has to be some regard for defense. There has to be some way to defend these players. It's like you can't touch them. And I don't like that. As much as I love Steph Curry and Trae Young is sick. I just think there has to be some sort of middle ground because I think, you know, when you got guys scoring, you know, 158 points, and again, this is crazy. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
And that's like along those lines. Yeah. Patrick Beverley last night just got roasted by Russell Westbrook, and he's one of the best defenders in the league.
Don't touch me. He said
47 right. points by Harden. You know, like even when you are a good defender, you're getting disrespected now and finding a way to do it.
Yeah. They have no, the balance is. So in the offense, the guy with the ball's hands, I just don't think it's fair. And then, you know, in the playoffs, it tightens up a little bit. But I just think there's a way to, you know, reward the defender a little bit more in the NBA.
You know what is funny about that? And you do work with the big three.
Yep.
Is that seeing some of those guys who have that old school way of defending ingrained in their minds.
Yeah.
In the big three, they come back out and they're like, "Nah, man, I'm not playing by the new rules there." And that to me is fascinating to watch them. Like, you can't rewire some.
No. You have to be able to put the hands on and hand check, and I think it's good. I mean, I would love to see, you know, what Kyrie and those guys could do if you could push them around a little bit. I mean, it'd still be great. I think it would add to them, you know, being even more creative, James Harden. But I just think it's unfair at this point.
That's right. Michael Rappaport in studio with us. You got time for one more segment with us?
Let's do it.
You got it. All right. He's going to stick around, close out the show with us because he loves defense. Celebrity All-Star Game. Are you going to come back to it?
Possibly. But I think I might come back in a coaching GM capacity.
I like this because you used to, one of my favorite parts of watching you in that game was your frustration level when none of the other celebrities would play defense or give effort.
And they don't pass. Some of these guys are generous philanthropists. My guy Common, great rapper, does so many politically involved things, won't pass the ball. My guy Common, shout out to Common.
Michael Rappaport, he's in town. 5 shows at Helium Comedy Club right here in Portland this weekend. Starts tonight, 8 o'clock at Helium, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. 2 shows tomorrow, 2 shows on Saturday at 7:30 and 10 as well. He wraps up the show with us next. This is Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Michael Rappaport joining us in studio. He's got 5 shows at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. He's got an 8 to 9 show tonight, and then 7:30 on Friday and 10 o'clock on Friday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Saturday. as well. We were talking about this a little bit ago, but your show on Netflix, Atypical, that show is a little bit different than anything you've ever done. Like, you've got a little bit of everything from kids movies where you were a voice on, what was the movie where the
Dr. Doolittle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you've got, you know, obviously Remy from Higher Learning is one that people that sticks with people. And then you have Atypical where you're a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of what spoke to you about that role and kind of taking that role in that show on?
The part in Atypical that's, you know, appealed to me was that it was different. It's a quieter character than some of the characters I've played. It's certainly a quieter a character than what you see from me when I'm sort of playing myself. And it's just a great show about a family, you know, dysfunctional, functioning family. And we're dealing and figuring out, you know, how to deal with ourselves and our 18-year-old son with autism. And it's just that, you know, the show is really, people have really gravitated to the show, and it has an emotional cord with the audience. And season 3 is streaming on Netflix now, and it seems to be more popular than the first two seasons. So I'm really happy with it. I'm proud of the show. And I love the part. I love the gentleness of the character. He's a gentle character. So, you know, I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I really appreciate the people that have been watching Atypical on Netflix.
Yeah, we've had listeners that have texted in to us saying they wanted us to thank you because, you know, whether they're a parent with autism or some for just the show and kind of putting it all out there because it's relatable to a lot of people out there right now.
It's cool. It's cool. And, you know, when people say it's one thing to do something that people like or, yo, it's funny. But like when people say thank you, it has this emotional chord. It's unusual and you can't predict that and you can't manufacture it. So it's really nice. And I'm proud of Atypical.
You know, I mentioned Remy from Higher Learning.
Yep.
It took me a really long time to start liking you after after that role.
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot with guys that are like, I mean, you played that role so well.
Yeah.
Like it became believable for a lot of people. And it took me like 2 or 3 things that you did after where I was like, he's not Remy.
Yeah. It was a great opportunity. The director who passed, the late, great John Singleton, who also directed Boys in the Hood and so much more, gave me a great opportunity. It was fun to play the part, even though you know the character was I didn't agree with all of it stuff. But it was a great challenge. It was a great opportunity as an actor to sort of spread my wings and to push myself. And you know the movie sort of has lasted the test of time, and I'm really proud of that film, Higher Learning. It's a good film.
Best shard about best shard.
Wow,
words are hard. Best thing about show business when you're thinking about the future of where we go. You're talking about Netflix and how movies are and how this is changing compared to how we used to film and how we consume it. How does show business keep going like this? We see all these different types of, like you said, podcasts, guys doing these one-offs and stuff like that. Is movies going out and it's more about series that you see in the future of it?
I think, you know, there's so many great platforms to watch stuff, which means there's so many great opportunities for actors, directors, and creators to get jobs, to get discovered and all that stuff. You know, I do miss the more well-rounded movies in the big theaters, you know, like the whole Martin Scorsese, Marvel. I don't think necessarily it's not cinema, and he clarified what he meant, but I feel like, you know, the comic book movies and all that stuff have taken over everything. That's all we go to, and then they'll sprinkle out a couple of, you know, independent films here and there. You're hard to find. The Irishman, you know, which is... You couldn't get bigger people. Martin Scorsese, you know, I know it's not playing here in Portland, you know, because it's coming out on Netflix. So that stuff is where I get concerned, you know, and I love, obviously, Netflix, but it's like that's where I get concerned for movies is the impotence. And it's so easy now. There's so much stuff on regular TV, pay cable, the streaming services that, you know, you have to really put out events to get people to go to the theater to see a movie. So that, to me, as a fan of films, is a concern. But it's a good time. It's a good time, you know, to be in show business because there are so many opportunities.
Right.
Yeah, like it's kind of, they're flooding so many different avenues that a lot of people are going to miss a lot of really good content.
There's so many different things. Yeah. There's so many different things, types of shows, you know. I mean, just on regular, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. There's like right there is a lot. And then you got, you know, all our sports, you know what right. I mean? I love reality shows. So I got all my, and then, you know, we're not even streaming yet. So it's right. just a lot. It's a lot to watch. And is there's pros and I think some cons to it.
Man, this has been really fun.
Awesome.
I really appreciate you coming in. Michael Rappaport, he'll be in town, Helium Comedy Club, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. 8 o'clock show tonight. Friday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Again on Saturday, 7:30 and
Better
10 o'clock shows.
Go see it, man.
You can go to michaelrappaportcomedy.com or go to Helium's website here in Portland and get tickets, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks
really
for having
it.
You guys. I appreciate it.
Kick ass.
We got a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam tomorrow. We'll be joined by Joel Klatt, our Fox Sports College Football Insider, plus our Weekend Would You Rather. Coming up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk, and then recruiting show with Andrew Nemec from 7 to 9, 8 p.m. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on The Fan.